Let the spirit of the Kennedys
and the magic of the Disney brothers be with you always.
Blood and Business Legacy merch, available now.
Let's run faster,
work harder,
burn brighter
before we're gone.
Order your Blood and Business Legacy merch today.
This is KFM 3, part 2.
Just quickly, I kind of think.
Okay, Cassie's not ready to be back yet. She has nothing to say about that.
Sometimes I try and then nothing comes.
We need to talk about the Kennedy siblings. Episode 3. Welcome to Blood and Business.
I'm Bethany.
And I'm Cassie.
If you aren't allowing the Kennedy story to change your life, then take a better look at yourself and your decisions, because you need to.
It will change your life.
You need to allow it.
If you really let it pierce you.
I literally do not look at the world in the same way that I did before researching the Kennedys. I mean, every day I've always been a very like serious existential person in not existential, that's the wrong word.
Yes, yeah, I'm existential. Yeah.
I'm Bethany like is, what like I've always looked at people as souls.
You are an end picture.
Right. The whole Tony Robbins like
rocking chair test.
Yes.
What actually matters.
At the end of my life, yeah, what do I care
not
about?
Not even just
that has been always been in the front of my mind.
Yeah.
Ever since I was a kid. But I thought I was that way before, and even more so now after doing all of
because
this.
Because you just don't think that people, one person or one family, has that much power to impact.
And also,
and they did,
what does it
so?
And also, you, their story for me has really driven home, like, what does it matter? Like, what does it matter what people think about my life? What does it matter at the end? What, if I fit in or not? Or if I looked like I had my life together or not, or if I looked like I was happy to other people and having a good time on Instagram or not.
Yeah, and I also want to say, just because you believe that doesn't mean that that won't bother you still. Like, I have made all of my big decisions in my life thinking, okay, but what actually matters, and what's selfish versus not selfish? And I have made the decisions that I freaking stand by. Does that mean that I don't care what people think about me, or I haven't struggled, or I haven't cried on the bathroom floor, right, like, and had to like refight that battle over and over and over again? I definitely have. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, some person
being brave doesn't mean you just don't feel fear. You feel fear and you do it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you feel the fear, you feel the discomfort, and it does. It also doesn't mean that you're not questioning yourself over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And I think that most, like, that is what we should be doing. I think people more now than ever should be checking themselves and questioning, what am I doing every day?
Yeah.
Because
everything is so out of control, and everything is so zoomed in and zoomed out. Like, with social media, it's crazy. You need to, like, Bethany hates that I use this word all the time, but you need to recalibrate.
Oh my gosh, Cassie and her recalibration.
We're the back end. Well, it's a good word, okay? You need to like find center again, you know? Because mm-hmm. it's so easy to
be washed away with.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
the storm that is freaking social media and
just people's
media in
mindset
general.
Now. Yeah. Something quick that I did want to bring up that we kind of touched on in episode 3, but that is very important for the whole storyline and everything, is when Eunice said, hey, by the way, I want everyone to know that I knew my sister very, very, very intimately. And these letters, looking at these letters from an outsider perspective, and this is your only experience with Rosemary's capabilities and the way that she operated, these letters are a little bit misleading, and they seem to, it looks like she was higher functioning than she was in
reality. Yeah.
A letter that Bethany pointed out that you can look at on like a deeper level and think about the person who wrote the letter is the letter where she says she doesn't realize that her parents are in communication with her school. And she writes to her parents and she's like, I'm working hard, mother, because I get 100s in arithmetic all the time.
Also, and the fact that she is how old when she says that?
She's 12.
Yeah.
So she's in sixth grade.
In middle
that
school,
that sounds like a normal letter, but not whenever you think that she's 12 years old.
It's like Rosemary's. There's those like
subconscious perspectives that we're obviously missing.
I feel like her emotional awareness was decent, like fairly high, but her like realistic.
Yeah.
How the world works. It's like almost.
I feel like Rosemary had better communication and emotional intelligence than she did academic intelligence.
Yeah. When I think of her talking to her sisters about, I miss mother and how is everyone doing? Please tell Jack and Joe Jr. that I said hi, that I'm thinking about them. All of those seem like I don't even know if I as a.
Yeah, and make sure my mom knows that, like, when she doesn't write me, it really does hurt my feelings. Like, I want to make sure I communicate that, like, I do have an emotional response to that, and she needs to adjust her behavior accordingly.
And it's
like, that's pretty fine complex.
And it's fine for me to expect that of my mother because she's my mom, and
right,
she should accommodate my emotions to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
But she also was realistic in it of, like, I don't think that I can control everyone and demand that this happen. So that, to me, seems...
She was putting out a request.
Yeah. Like, very intelligent and very mature and knowledgeable of, like, how...
She understood the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Fully.
Yeah, but then on the other hand, the whole, like...
She understands that communication is... I don't know. She understands, like, yeah, all those levels of that, but then she doesn't understand that her parents would know her academic progress.
Yeah, it's like when little kids say a little white lie and, like, I didn't eat that cookie, and there's like cookie crumbs all over them.
And you're like, you really think this is believable right now?
Yeah.
It's like she was at that
level. And not just that letter, there are a lot of letters back and forth and just ways that they talk about her that you think, okay, she couldn't even dress herself by the age of 5. And normally around 2 years old, you can, like, you're going to put your pants on backwards and you can't tie your shoes, but
you can pick out an outfit.
You can pick out an outfit and you can put your shirt on for sure. And probably by 2.5, you can probably put your pants on as well, as long as you don't have to, like, button and zip them. And she at 5, starting kindergarten, when you're supposed to be potty trained and you're supposed to be able to sit in a room.
And she wasn't able to put on lipstick by herself like her sisters
ever,
were.
Even in her 18
even in her height of her performance, in her highest level of ability,
that's huge too. Lipstick, like, that's I mean it's, I, like, see coloring, 6 year olds, you know, that are 6 year olds that can put on lipstick like pretty freaking good.
And they were very nervous about that. They were very nervous about her eating sloppily and not understanding or realizing that she had spilled things or it was everywhere. So just remember, because we do talk so much about Rosemary's mentality, her mindset, her emotions, her perspective, and we understand the complexities of how human she was, and we are highlighting that because it's true.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also true that she was not very high functioning in everyday life.
Yeah, it's again, like, it's hard to grasp, like, how complex humans are, and also how complex
every situation.
Decisions and situations and certain, like, capabilities, and just.
You need the right perspective, and Eunice wanted to make sure everyone had the right perspective. And so we just want to, like, make sure that that's clear. One other letter that I wanted to talk about from Rosemary that I think gives insight into a couple of things was the one that she wrote to the Catholic summer camp staff and campers after she had to leave. Like,
suddenly.
Yeah. Eddie Moore, her godfather, came and, like, got her and took her back home because her mom didn't exactly disclose the whole situation of Rosemary's capabilities and the extent of her disabilities to the staff. And after, like, I don't know, 3 weeks or something.
Yeah, I think it was 3 weeks.
They ended up saying, you know what, you need to come get Rosemary because we're not equipped to accommodate her. I definitely think that her family shielded her from other people's opinions or
ignorance.
Yeah. Or just, like,
uncomfortableness, kind of, like.
Yeah. Judgments.
Yeah.
Because she wrote to them and she said, like, I'm so sorry that you guys had to lose me. It wasn't my fault. I had so much fun with you. And I know that you're sad to see me go as well. Which alludes to that thing that you were saying earlier about that complex
thought and sort of. It's like a mature way of thinking, my actions have consequences and they affect other people. also thinking about other people's emotions and like how they're mm-hmm. going to feel about certain events, because I don't even know. I'm a very like present thinker. And yeah. so sometimes I don't even think about, oh, this is going to, especially when it's not like my direct family. I'm not thinking, oh, when I leave this camp, all of those people are going to be sad and notice my absence. But she, at like a fairly young age,
yeah.
was aware of that and thought to send a letter, which, I mean,
I legit
takes discipline.
yeah, would have missed that. But also her asking, like, why don't other boys want to dance with me and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. I don't think they ever gave her like the true answers.
Right.
Which, and I wouldn't have either.
I don't know. Part of me wants to think that I would.
I feel like she doesn't need to know other people's prejudices, like, because all it's going to do is hurt her feelings.
Yeah. I don't know if I would tell her like other people are
uncomfortable because they don't understand.
Yeah. They've never come in contact with someone that is so like unique like you are and blah, blah, blah. Like, I feel like I would, because I would want an explanation even if it hurt my feelings. But like, you wouldn't want your feelings
exactly.
hurt.
I would rather be told a lie or like not. I would rather people dance around it and me just be able to believe that like nobody doesn't like me.
Yeah. Right. So then that letter of her realizing, oh, other guys are not dancing with me, only my family members or my close family friends are, that shows, yeah, the protectiveness of her family. But it also shows that she is like analyzing these.
Yeah, she scenarios. Can notice.
Yeah. And so that also, again, is like not a super little kid like thought that.
Yes, she was very socially and emotionally intelligent. It was just like the
in certain areas, though, because also in certain areas with social intelligence, she like wasn't as aware. Like the grades thing is like a little bit like of a social yeah. thing. Anyways, her disability was not super black and white. And I don't even ever think that she got like a specific diagnosis. I think it was more of just like, oh, you have
a disability.
Yeah. Mental retardation back then. And it's a very, very broad.
Yeah.
spectrum, and that looks a million different ways with a million different people. Anyways, it's just too complex of a thing, and it's so freaking gray with any sort of diagnosis, even if it's like a just purely physical.
Yeah, I was gonna say, isn't like not, MS like that's just the blanket statement, like you have an autoimmune
fibromyalgia,
sorry.
They don't really know what is wrong with you or what's going on in your body. They can just tell, like,
they're
you are
acknowledging
having symptoms
that you,
like
exactly.
I can see your symptoms and I can chart your symptoms. I just don't know the cause. And so diagnoses feel good in that aspect, because you're like, okay, I'm not crazy, either with something mental or physical. It can feel really good to have that label and to be able to find people that are like you, because they also have this diagnosis.
Then there's also the social aspect of diagnoses and labels can be really bad, because they can be very misunderstood socially and
right.
like culture-wise.
And then you're thrown into this weird name
label that dehumanizes, like we talked about in the third episode, or that just maybe some of it applies to you but not all, and then it's telling like too much of a story or not enough of a story. So there's that. And then, which you can talk about this, but then because you've studied it a little bit, they've done testing on patients who have gotten a diagnosis and been told a diagnosis, or their peers have been told the diagnosis, and they are treated differently than people who have the exact same symptoms, the exact same disorder,
but
do
no
not
label.
Have a label. So
yeah.
talk about all that.
They have done studies in the past where they'll have like several different groups, and one group has this label. Okay, these people are
bipolar.
And then they actually are bipolar. They qualify, and they also get that label. And then they have another group of people who qualify as bipolar as well, but they do not get the label. They just get like a more broad disorder, or they get no label at all. And then they'll have another group that is not bipolar, do not show signs to qualify as bipolar, but they get the label. And then they send them into these inpatient facilities, hospitals, and different
classrooms.
Yeah, different places to basically like put them into the wild, mm-hmm. into the public, and
to interact
see how
with others.
Either peers interact with them and other people that are also patients, but also to see how the nurses, the staff interact with them and they treat them, but also to see how the patient themselves responds to those labels. So if I'm being told I'm bipolar and I am bipolar, how does that affect me? If I'm being told I'm bipolar and I'm not, do I start showing signs? So basically what they found out is that you can actually, like, a diagnosis can be very detrimental to you, because if you're told you're sick so many times, you literally, your brain starts thinking, oh my gosh, I am sick. And you literally start having physical and mental symptoms of certain illnesses, certain sicknesses. And because you view yourself now as a sick person, you can either literally make yourself
start
sick,
behaving like one,
or you, yeah, your mental illness, if you are already, like, you do have that mental illness, you, it becomes more severe and more of an all-encompassing identity, and you feel like, oh, there's no way out, I am just,
you
this
put yourself
way.
In a box,
yeah,
and you don't have to operate within that box, but you believe
this is who I am and I can't do anything about it, so because I am this way, then you could start going, like, basically like a self-fulfilling prophecy in a way.
It's frustrating because both sides of having a diagnosis and not having a diagnosis, there are definite pros and cons to both. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Like, and there are two different schools of thought with that as well. Like, there are a lot of really well-respected doctors on both sides of the spectrum where some people think, no, it is good to have labels and we do need to categorize and statistics are useful. Like, we need to be able to watch
these people. It's like the Enneagram. Knowing somebody is a 7-wing 8, like, helps you to understand their perspective and their motivations and helps you have a deeper understanding of that person and why they do the things that they do and have a better relationship with that person. It's helped us and our family understand each other so much and communicate so much better, but it also can
sometimes give me permission to be like, well, oh, I'm
a 1, so
yeah, I'm going to be arguing because I'm advocating for blah blah blah, and it makes me think, oh, I have more permission to argue because that's just how I am. I mean, just an argumentative person. I can't change my personality.
Everything has a cause and effect. I mean, everything has an effect.
Yes, for sure. And so it's even now obviously hard and people don't know what the right answer is. And every person could also be different. Like, it could give people hope and connection and a feeling of
I'm not crazy.
A validity. Yeah. And then it can also be detrimental to people and make people cause people to go down a worse path because of a label.
Mm-hmm.
And if people are treating others like super differently, they've also done tests where people are developmentally delayed and they put them in groups like classrooms and their peers. If the teacher says this person has
a learning disability?
Yeah, like a learning disability or needs accommodations in a certain way, those kids will be more standoffish and not
isolate
them as much. Yeah. And people,
which is totally unnecessary.
Yeah. And then they've also studied like and watched kids go into these rooms that actually do have behavioral issues or developmental delays and need accommodations, but not like actually accommodate them. And like, or so obviously that the kids pick up on that.
Yeah.
And the kids will not isolate them, even if they're acting like obviously different, and the adults would obviously know, okay, there's something different about this kid. The other kids don't pick up on it nearly as much, and so they don't isolate them because there's not that
or
label.
Just
so,
like,
even kids are like, oh, if you're telling me that person is different,
something's
then
wrong with them.
Yeah.
I'm going to accept that and I'm going to take that information and then act on that information.
Correct.
Yeah.
And they're automatically in a different category in my brain instead of just people talking to other people, and we're all different. And yeah, so I don't even think I have no, honestly, even
I think
opinion
that
on that.
Some diagnoses
so
are for sure really helpful.
Yeah.
Because then you can use information from case studies, from doctors, from past experiences to help treat whatever symptoms or whatever disorder. Like, people have other people have had experiences and gone through trials and they have learned about it, and you can help yourself in your situation with that education and with that like experience. But then there's the other side of it too. So, and that actually brings us to the Kennedys' thought on this. Joe and Rose obviously had an opinion on this and were so confident in their own decision, like we talked about earlier, of what they felt was right in their core and not willing to trust other people or just leave it up to other people's opinions. So much so that they were willing to
bend the truth, leave things out.
Yeah, maybe like tell like half truths about Rosemary so that she would be able to go to a quote unquote typical normal class, school, education, and assimilate herself and be as normal as possible. And they felt that it was helping her rise to the occasion. And I also want to talk about the reasons that they did that, because I think that the part of the reasons that they did that was because they wanted her to be as high functioning and as typical as possible. And
they wanted her to reach her potential, or what they thought in their minds was her potential.
For sure. And they definitely wanted their kids to go out and accomplish. And they were very performance based minded. But also, I think part of the reason that they did that is because even down to the Catholic Church, even down to the like most charity, selfless, loving structure that they knew in their lives, even they were saying, your child doesn't belong here. You have to either put her somewhere else, separate her from yourself, or you don't fit in. And so to keep Rosemary with them and to not be ostracized from their communities and from their peers, they hid her in plain sight. Mm-hmm. They tried to assimilate Rosemary and her abilities as much as possible.
Yeah.
Who's to say that's not the best thing to do as a mom and a dad?
Yeah.
But you're lying.
I think that,
you know?
Yeah. And hindsight is 20/20 in some aspects, and in others, there is no right answer. There's also the factor of all kids are so different and they react so differently. And for some, a private school would be the best education, mm-hmm. and they would be a well-rounded kid after 12 years of private school. And other kids would be so sheltered and so in a bubble that they would come out snooty and mean and not compassionate or empathetic, you know?
So yeah, and some would come out very, very jaded and felt like they were deprived and lonely. And so it's just...
Yeah.
It's Lee versus Jackie.
Uh-huh.
It's helpful to try to put a organized chart of labels and right things to do. But when you actually...
are living it, it's like the answers are not so clear.
Yeah.
They were making the best decisions that they could.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely were not people who were trying to get away with the path of least resistance or the laziest, like, easiest, smoothest sailing option.
Right, because
they did everything hard.
Yeah, the easiest option for sure, for, like, the quote-unquote easiest, I guess, because emotionally it may have been harder, but also maybe not. But just sending her off as soon as they were aware of her disability, because that's what everyone was telling them to do. So everyone gave, like, all humans that they respected and people who were supposed to have the right answers were telling Joe and Rose to send Rosemary off, and that was the best for her. So that would have been the easiest one and done. I'm paying for her care. I go visit her on Christmas and Thanksgiving.
And it's not like they would have been in a lot more emotional pain, I don't think, because they already were sending them to boarding schools and stuff. So they were missing their kids, like, emotionally.
Yeah.
But, like, decision-making, day-to-day stuff would have been so much easier to just kind of wash their hands of it.
Yeah, and feel like, okay, I'm doing the right thing. All the doctors told me I should do this, and I'm doing it. So what else can I do? They went above and beyond.
They went into the research. They went and figured out what is really going to happen if I send her to one of these institutions. No, I'm not doing that. She needs to be with her family. Like, they really did, I think, make decisions not for themselves, but for Rosemary to have her best chance and live the best life that she could experience.
Right.
So Joe and Rose, I feel like, definitely were, instead of putting her in a box and trying to, like, predict the future, they were more so reacting to reality.
Yes.
As it happened.
Yeah. Who is Rosemary right now, and what can she do right now?
They weren't going to put her in a box or lower the standards of what they wanted her to accomplish until they saw, okay, she's fully not capable for sure. She tried and she can't do it. They weren't going to be like, well,
you're never going to be able to recite the alphabet, so why even try to teach you?
I guess more so they were responding.
Yeah, responding to what was actually in front of them. Okay, really quickly, I wanted to chat about the Kennedys and the Bouviers.
Again.
We've talked about, obviously, like, the gray in everything, in human beings, in family dynamics, in morality, and I feel like something that also is, like, a hard pill to swallow because it is gray, it are boundaries. And boundaries are, like, a hot topic right now. And boundaries are so necessary in so many areas.
They're helpful. They're a
they
tool.
Are super helpful. But with boundaries, I think the Bouvier sisters versus the Kennedys, or compared to the Kennedys, are a really good like analysis of boundaries. And I'm going to compare Lee and Rosemary a little bit because I feel like they were a little bit stuck in the same situation emotionally. And if they would have had maybe more boundaries, they could have gotten out a little bit less scathed. But also if they had too strict of boundaries, then they probably wouldn't have had sibling
relationships. They would have lost their relationships.
Yeah. So that I think is a delicate balance of how to have boundaries, but also be aware that like people are going to hurt me, and the people I love the most are going to be the people who hurt me the most.
Obviously, because
yeah, you're around them the most and they have the power.
Yeah, exactly. They have the emotional power.
You care. You care what they think and you care what they do, and they you care how they treat you. And so you're going to be the most hurt when they let you down or when they cross you in a certain way. And
so with Lee, I want to kind of explain what boundaries you're talking about. With Lee, she felt overshadowed, and her relationship with Jackie, her sister, was very, very toxic, and they were best friends, but they also were... Jackie was always, always just naturally more successful, more popular, more well-liked, more...
The stars aligned for Jackie.
Intelligent, like just everything. But it really, really, really was hard for Lee to be around her all the time.
Lee felt like crap anytime she was with her sister, which is
so she should have had more boundaries with certain topics that they talked about maybe, or certain... events or times that she showed up, or certain people that maybe Lee just didn't want. She didn't want to be around Jackie in that environment or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it would have helped them have a healthier relationship. It would have allowed them to be more intimate
and trust each other on a foundational level, instead of constantly Lee feeling like she's getting beaten. Like she's getting beat emotionally, but she's also getting beat like socially with perception. And people were always like, wow, it must suck to be Lee because she sucks compared to her sister.
And like maybe that would have given Lee the space and the breath of fresh air to be able to learn about herself, to be able to learn, who am I? Who do I actually want to be? Do I really care about this? Or am I actually okay and proud of who I am?
Right. She could have stepped out of the competition with her sister.
But it was so 24/7 shoved down her throat all the time, and she never stepped away from it. So she never got a breath. She never got to... recalibrate. I mean, hey, it's a freaking good analogy. And so with Rosemary,
it was kind of the same thing of every time she was around her siblings, she felt like crap. Like she wasn't so aware of her disability until she was around her sister.
Yes. And
or around her siblings.
In the school in London, when she was in a different
environment,
she felt so much better about herself, and she, all she knew is, I miss my siblings. I want to go back for Christmas. I want to be around everybody. And it was great. It was fine. Mm-hmm. But then being in the everyday, day to day,
her siblings,
seeing what
in
they're
and
doing,
out. Yeah, accomplishing things, going
and
here,
knowing
going there.
She couldn't do those things was
suffocating,
debilitating.
Yeah. And made her feel like such crap and aware of what she was missing out on.
So boundaries, good and bad.
Yeah.
Because Lee could have also been like, boundaries. My sister is so rude. She's mean. She never cared about me. She never gave me the time of day or attention. My parents always loved Jackie, and they, like, she could have went so far with the boundaries that she lost all of her relationships, which she actually did in the end of her life. She allowed herself to get so hurt and let it get to the point where she had to completely just step away altogether, and she never really was able to come back from that and come back to her intimate family relationships.
Their feelings towards their siblings were very complex and were very similar in a way, because Lee felt like she had so many shortcomings compared to her sister, but also her sister was her best friend and a person she idolized and someone she wanted to be like.
Yeah.
And she loved, like, they were best friends. She loved her sister, and she was basically the only family she had.
Mm-hmm.
And with Rosemary, it was the same. Her siblings were her best friends. They were the people who talked her up and made her feel good and took her out and did, like, all of Rosemary's favorite, like, best memories were with her siblings.
Which is so frustrating because, go ahead, finish your thought.
But she also felt, because she was human and she compared herself to her siblings, and she was aware that, I notice how much I'm lacking mm-hmm. in certain areas when I'm around my siblings. And so when I'm around my siblings, I do feel like crap.
Which led to, I think, the frustration and the tantrums, because whenever they talk about her having a temper or having tantrums in her younger life, when it was more isolated, just, you know,
reactions
here and there. Yeah. It was when she was frustrated with herself and her self-confidence was low and she would not be able to complete a task at school or understand some concept in her homework or whatever. That is when she had outbursts. I feel like it was the same feeling that overtook her whole identity and her whole everyday life later in life when everything just fell apart, because she was around that inadequacy and those
feelings
constantly every day, and she couldn't get a breath. And it's like, it's just frustrating, because I think that Rose did know that and she noticed it, and they tried to find a place for her to excel and to flourish
on her own.
Yes, yeah. Like she did in London at the school, and then come back home for vacations, for holidays, for weekends, whatever. And I think that that would have freaking worked. But the world wasn't ready for Rosemary. Mm-hmm. Rose knew what to do and she couldn't pull it off.
Yeah.
That's so frustrating.
And
not just Rose. Joe said the same thing too. Yeah. He was like, it's obvious that this is the life for Rosemary at the London school.
Yes, this is where she's the happiest. She's thriving. She is like reaching her highest self. And that's all Joe wanted for her. I don't think Joe wanted her to be quote unquote well. I think that he was suffering alongside her, and when she was in pain, Joe was in pain, and no parent wants their kid to feel left out, to feel inadequate, to be aware of their shortcomings ever. And so when she did get this like breath of fresh air and this relief, and she felt like, oh, I'm contributing, I can rise to this occasion, this is what I'm good at, this is what I'm meant for, the kids love me, I can relate to them on a level that quote unquote normal teenagers and adults can't relate to them, and they love me because of that, and I'm useful here, and this is where I can contribute to the world. I think Joe was so happy for her and obviously was like, this is where she's meant to be. This yeah. is why she's here.
And they didn't want to take her away from that.
They let her stay there longer than any of the other siblings were allowed to stay overseas, mm-hmm. which I think says a lot too.
Yeah.
She was the last remaining family member over there.
Yeah, and Joe also knew his daughter. He knew what was important to her. He knew her feelings. He knew her emotions. And he catered to him. He was like, Rosemary, it's you and me, girl. Like, mm-hmm. everybody else went home, and you're going to be the one to keep me company, because he knew his daughter, and he knew
she wanted to be the favorite at times.
She wanted to be the favorite. She wanted to be dad's best bud. She wanted to have a purpose in the family and play a role.
Yeah, contribute where others couldn't.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, and I bet the others are just wild. Like, she knew. They were like, oh, I know
Cassie's my... talking about something that's happening in episode 5. She just realized. I'm like letting Cassie go on and on with this story, and everybody's absolutely so confused. But we're gonna
I have to cut that out. I can't keep doing it.
We're gonna talk about that in episode 5, and we'll circle back to, because the timelines match up. It's just we jumped a little bit to keep with the Rosemary timeline,
because,
and then we're going to go to the World War II.
Yeah, that's why.
Screwed everything up.
Oh my gosh. And if they could have just made it through World War II. Her lobotomy happened in 1941. Like, it would have been a while, you know?
Yeah.
She couldn't go back
mm-hmm.
to London until 1945.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, America, get it together. Why couldn't they have had something that would have been good enough for her?
They were freaking trying.
America?
Yeah.
They were inadequate.
Definitely. Anyways, I do want to say a quick disclaimer that Cassie and I are not the wisest nor the most educated people.
How many times have we said this?
The planet. But I want to say it because sometimes I think that we can come off as, because if you think about it, we're just literally two sisters that talk all day, every day, sitting here chatting with a microphone. And so I think that I'm scared of getting canceled. But I don't think that we always say like the correct terms with things. And I think it's fine to message us and gently, kindly let us know.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I want you guys to reach out to us if you have experience in a certain area, whether that be through schooling or your own family or your own life experience.
If I'm sure we'll have to have a little corrections corner every now and then. Yeah,
eventually. But I do think it's cool, too, that me and Cassie are getting to grow in, like, real time. We're learning so much from these stories and so much from different people's personal experiences and things that I never thought that I would have, like, so much emotion and feeling and protectiveness over. I do. And Rosemary has definitely done that for me with the disability community. What first piqued my interest into the disability community was this documentary called Crip Camp.
How'd you even hear about it?
I think I just saw it, like suggested on Netflix when it first came out in 2020. And I remember I was in my college dorm and I watched it and I literally bawled. Like, and I am not like a super cry weepy person, but I just like was so empowered and like so in awe of the people in that documentary. And I also was like sort of a topic that I had never thought about in terms of like change and I don't know.
There's work to be done.
Yeah. Anyway, so I loved that documentary. If you haven't watched it, you should go watch it. But it was like the first experience where I was like, oh my gosh, I want to like fight for these people.
Yeah.
And then with Rosemary's story, I'm like learning more and more. And obviously, like I've preached before, you can't die on every hill. And there are so many communities and groups of people that I want to help so badly, and like I want to die on that hill. It's just finding
but I think areas that we can help. Yeah, this is a cool avenue, because all of that change, all of that reform comes, and the progress comes from first education and first awareness and
people getting behind those causes too.
Not everyone can be the number one poster billboard advocate out on the streets, pounding the pavement.
Not everyone can be Eunice.
Yeah, not everyone can be Eunice, exactly. But we haven't talked about her yet, so shut it down. Not everyone can, like, pass legislation and dedicate their whole life to going to Disability Washington, D.C., presenting in front of Congress. But the more that we can spread the word and the more that we can all learn together, Bethany and I didn't know all this stuff. We learned it, then now we're talking about it with you guys. That's helpful. That for is... Sure. Advocacy and
like we have said before, and bringing it back to Rosemary as well, the world wasn't ready for Rosemary. And as sickening and like painful and disgusting and just absolutely horrible, that I just can't, I don't even want to accept that as fact, that the world wasn't in a place where
if Rosemary was born today, we've talked about this, she probably would have been able to hold a job.
She would have thrived. I really believe she would have thrived, because her parents were so in it and wanting to help her, and she was privileged and she did have connections and she did have the money, and there literally it just didn't exist.
That's the thing, it did not exist,
and people did not know.
Rosemary had value to contribute, and it's frustrating for us that her value that she wanted to contribute or that she had in her was untapped and didn't get to be received by the world. But because the world was the way that it was, her value and her contribution turned into something else. And
we'll talk about all about that next episode. Oh my gosh. In Kennedy episode 4.
But I just want you to know as well, I always am like, Bethany, she's so hard on herself. And I'm like, you are contributing. You are making a difference, telling people stories and opening up these conversations. So if you have a family member or a friend who you like to have deep conversations with, or like, I don't know, you just have like a shared zest for life, a passion for talking about, you know,
like to shoot the shite with.
Yeah. Share episodes and have conversations, and we all can be a part of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we can't die on every hill, but we can
motivate and inspire. And and you never know who you are going to meet or talk to, or just plant a little seed that's going to be their hill that they're going to die on. You know?
And because people talked about it and people spoke up, the world now is ready for the next Rose Kennedy and Rosemary. The world is ready now for a Rose Kennedy to find a place for her daughter to go volunteer or make a difference. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And we have so far to go, but we've also, holy crap, come so far. And dear God, please don't let us go backward.
Yeah, because
it is a slippery slope. And
there was a girl on TikTok I don't know her name. But she, her sister has Down syndrome and her sister works with her, but she has done research on obviously the disability community, and people with disabilities and people with Down syndrome are legally allowed to be paid like a third of minimum wage.
Yeah, I think because, it's like $3 or $2 and something cents.
And it's like they're doing the same job.
Yeah.
The output is the same.
Which is so cool with about the internet too, is that
I didn't freaking know that. I had no idea.
I wouldn't even know to look to understand that. Yeah.
So conversations are important. End of the story.
Okay, I have a couple more things I want to talk about before wrapping up KFM3. One of them being my perception of Rosemary and the Kennedys' dynamic with Rosemary. Coming into this, I thought, because she is called the hidden Kennedy daughter, and I remember my grandma, when we were little, saying something about, oh, the Kennedys, they have a daughter. It's so horrible, shocking, unbelievable what they did to her. It's disgusting behavior. And her explaining what a lobotomy was and that she was like in an institution for the rest of her life and they never went to visit her. And I just remember being like shocked and like so scared. And I felt like that was such a like weird vintage thing to do, of locking someone in an institution and the type of surgery. I don't know. I just can remember like being like, what the crap? And so that's all I knew about Rosemary. I'd never heard about her other than that one conversation with my grandma. And I was like 10.
Yeah. It sounded like they never acknowledged her from birth. They just
had her in an institution. Mm-hmm. She had this procedure done.
They tried to basically just abandon her.
Yeah. I think that that is a lot of people's, and I've ever since like people have known, okay, we're doing the Kennedys. Yeah. They have messaged us on Instagram or on TikTok saying, oh my gosh, have you heard about Rosemary or blah, blah, blah. The Rosemary story is so sickening and blah, blah, blah. And so I think that most people see it as they literally just tried to like wipe her off the face of the earth and like wish she would have never happened. And that could not be, that cannot be further from the truth. With the quotes and how much they, and I can see how people get there. Yes, but I can see how people get there with just bits of the truth. Yes, the headlines of what actually happened. But we'll talk about it more next episode. They never, and they didn't even hide her. No, they literally, her parents took her to more social events and more big public things than I have ever been a part of or could ever dream of being a part of. And
there was a lot of events that their reputation was on the line, and it would have been a whole ordeal if
it had gotten out what her condition was.
Right.
And they still took the risk
anyways.
Yeah. And
because she was a part of the family and the family was going to said event.
Right. Why wouldn't Rosemary go? Like, of course Rosemary's going. She's
and now they held her arm. They locked her arms the whole time. You know what I mean? Like they, you know, that little like formal curtsy, walking arm in arm. Like it looked natural, but like they were like, okay, stay with me.
We need to, make sure there are eyes on Rosemary at all times, which makes sense, but also is so brave and kind of just shows again like how they viewed her as one of them. They did not look at Rosemary and see what other people saw.
She was not
a problem even. No,
she was their daughter, their sister, their
Rose's like greatest joy in life and biggest purpose was being Rosemary's mom. And Joe thought that Rosemary was so fun and so mischievous and fully believed that she was going to like come into her own. And
now I'm crying again.
Yeah, Cassie's literally crying. But I think that that is sad that everyone thinks that she was like so shut away and so abandoned. And I don't think that Rosemary would want people to believe that about her family.
No, she had a whole life. She had so much fun. She had experiences. She freaking went and saw the world.
Yes. And
she had opinions. She had relationships. Like,
I think that that is a nice clean story for people to.
Yeah.
Like a cut and
sum
dry.
It up in a nice little bow. It was terrible.
I don't think that that does Rosemary justice, though. That takes all of the power away and all of the influence that Rosemary had over her family, away from the story. And that's not the truth. The truth is that Rosemary had a personality. She was fun. She was lively. She was mischievous.
She had a temper. She was sassy. Ran away.
She was independent.
Argued. And she punched people in the face. She wanted to go dance with the boys. She wanted to wear lipstick on.
She wanted to try her friends' dresses on in her bathing suits. And she cared about being on a diet. And she was a girl. Like, she was
Rosemary
a girl's girl.
Lived.
Yes, she was not some lobotomized, unaware, ghost of a person. Unconscious person. Like, she loved her siblings so much and was the ultimate sister. She shaped Eunice's entire personality, and I just hate that she doesn't even get credit. She doesn't get acknowledgement. Like, that's just not reality. That's not what happened.
And it's not right.
And I don't even care. And I don't think Joe and Rose did either, because they could have done a lot more interviews and said a lot more things than they did. And they didn't harp on the subject when they could have, because they could have been like, that's not fair. I did X, Y, and Z. I fought tooth and nail for her. It's not even that I'm sad that Joe and Rose get that reputation of just cutting their kid off, which I can't imagine how much that would hurt to think that the whole world believes that about you. Mm-hmm. And when you tried so hard to do the right thing. But I hate that even more for Rosemary, because she
was there.
Yeah, she existed.
She was there. She was at Buckingham Palace. She was at Harvard.
I feel like it's like the world is like gaslighting Rosemary. Like, she just, obviously she passed away, but it does feel like that. It feels like the whole world is gaslighting her, telling her none of that ever happened. Like, it did. And all of these photos, you weren't actually there.
And your family doesn't love you. What a horrible, horrible, horrible thing to tell somebody. For you to rewrite her story.
Yes.
She loved her family, and she was very hurt by them. And we will talk about that in the next episode. But it's not the story that people tell.
I know that there are families out there right now that do understand that experience and have had to make such crap decisions and look back and wish they would have had different knowledge and different help. And there are times where I feel like, why the crap did no one step in for me or help me or guide me a little bit more in these areas? And so I know that people can relate to this story, and I only think that this story can help people. Mm-hmm.
Because this is not the end of the story.
It's not.
People are telling one chapter. It's not the beginning. It's not the end. That's not the end of the story. We're going to actually get into the nitty gritty of what happened in the Kennedy Siblings episode 4. You have to listen to it. It will wreck you, and we will talk about all of it.
Join us here next week to hear all about how Rosemary made the difference.
Thank you all for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed it, please give us a review on Apple, rate us on Spotify, and share Blood and Business with a friend or a sibling. If you'd like to support the show, the best way is to become a patron of Blood and Business. You will get bonus content every month, including a monthly bonus episode, interactive main episodes, and behind-the-scenes footage.
To keep up with us day-to-day, you can follow us at Blood and Business on Instagram and TikTok. You can find the link for Instagram, TikTok, and Patreon in the show notes below. Thank you so much for the support, and we will see you back here next week for your regularly scheduled programming on
Blood and Business.